The Geopolitics and Empire podcast is joined by Bulgarian journalist and Middle Eastern correspondent Diljana Gajtanzieva. Her websites are diljana.bg and armswatch.com. She has been carrying out explosive investigative reporting from on the ground on biological warfare, biolabs, as well as the supply of arms by the West to Al-Qaeda and ISIS terrorists. Thank you for joining Geopolitics and Empire, Diljana. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me, and I much appreciate the interest that you are taking in my stories.
Oh, your work is amazing, and I'm amazed that you haven't done more interviews. But before we start, I would tell listeners as well, if they want to get more of a backstory, they can go to some of the Geopolitics and Empire archives, where, for example, I spoke with Jeffrey Kay, and he was discussing U.S. biowarfare against North Korea and China in the 1950s. And of course, as well, there is my interview with Dr. Francis Boyle from 2020, where we discuss biological weapons. Diljana, before we get to the biowarfare and the current events, you earlier in your work, you uncovered a covert international weapons shipment network, which worked through diplomatic flights to arm terrorists in the Middle East and Africa. And you say this was organized by U.S. Southern Command, I think, SOCOM, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE, among other actors, I'm sure. Many of us have long known how the West has funded extremists, Al-Qaeda and ISIS. I often reference, for example, there was an Iraqi general who said, I think last year, that if the West stopped funding, arming, supporting, training ISIS, ISIS in Iraq would disappear tomorrow. And so you've revealed some groundbreaking details and information, such as how diplomatic cover was used to protect this very illegal behavior of our governments. Could you first tell us a bit about the work you've done on this?
I was a war correspondent and international correspondent for Bulgarian media. At that point, it was in December of 2016, I was covering the Battle of Aleppo. And when the terrorists from Al-Nusra Front, this is the Al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria, retreated from their positions, I was able to enter, along with my cameraman and producer, to enter one underground warehouse, which was full with weapons. And to my dismay, most of the weapons were with the country of origin being my country, Bulgaria. I filmed everything. I broadcast this video with so many pieces of evidence, including documents and footage proving that my country, Bulgaria, was arming terrorists. I broadcast this report. I returned to my country, and I continued my investigation. And a few months later, I published a bigger investigation about 350 diplomatic flights with weapons originating from Eastern Europe. And all these flights, diplomatic flights with diplomatic clearance, were chartered by the U.S. Special Operations Command, or the U.S. government, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. According to these documents, these documents were internal memos, official letters, requests for diplomatic clearance with attached documents about weapons being shipped to different locations around the world, but mainly these were weapons destined for Syria and also for Yemen. And these documents proved that the whole of Eastern Europe was involved in an international weapons shipment network for arming terrorists using diplomatic flights. These weapons were paid for by the U.S. government, the Saudi government, and the Emirati government. we're talking about 350 diplomatic flights from 2015 to 2017. After I published this investigation, the company that was involved, it is a Zurich state-run air company, Silkway Airlines, they confirmed that they were exporting weapons for NATO or for their allies, but they denied that these weapons were destined for terrorists. However, the documents showed that this air company or its aircraft made technical landings, for instance, in Incirlik Air Base. This is a NATO shared air base in Turkey, very close to the border with Syria. So the weapons were offloaded there and then smuggled to Syria. This was the scheme how they did it, because diplomatic flights are exempt from checks, inspections, and airbills. Nobody knows what exactly was transported on these 350 diplomatic flights. But the documents that I obtained proved the whole scheme or the whole international weapons shipment network. Who are the sponsoring parties? Who are the exporters, the importers on papers? They also proved that all these supplies were under diplomatic cover. And we're not talking about accidental supply or flight. No, this was well-organized international weapons shipment network involving many countries, my country, Bulgaria, including. After I published this investigation, I was interrogated by the Bulgarian National Security Agency, and they wanted to know my source. They didn't investigate this crime, namely arming terrorists. They wanted to know my sources, and I probably I didn't cooperate with them in the way they wanted. I was fired literally 1 hour after I was interrogated. I received a phone call from the secretary in the newspaper where I worked, and she told me that my contract was terminated. The next week I was supposed to travel to Syria to continue my investigation on the ground. This never happened. And the editor-in-chief didn't provide, or even didn't meet me and didn't provide any explanation as to why my contract was terminated. Investigation was launched in Bulgaria into the crime arming terrorists with Bulgarian weapons. No, they just launched an investigation into how these documents were made public. This was the only issue that they wanted to investigate, nothing more.
A message from our sponsors. The Nomos app will help you survive COVID-1984 and the Great Reset. Nomos is a time bank that can be used by communities anywhere in the world. You just need to talk people into using it. For example, if you go to your barber for a 30-minute haircut, your barber receives 30 minutes in his time bank. He can then use that time to pay for an appointment with the doctor. I've spoken to the developer who is passionate about creating solutions for surviving and thriving in the apocalypse. Nomos is available in both English and Spanish. Hurry and visit nomos.net before they roll out the cashless society and put you in the algorithm ghetto. Also, if you need health insurance that covers you wherever you may roam, check out my friend James Guzman's Borderless Health Insurance. One of the great things about living internationally is saving money on healthcare, but private care overseas can be expensive. Go to borderlesshealthinsurance.com to watch a short presentation on expat and digital nomad healthcare and sign up for a free consultation to review your options. Geopolitics and Empire needs funding. You can leave a donation, book a consultation, or become a member, which gets you access to my brief weekly commentary, a monthly newsletter of my thoughts, a private Telegram, a monthly members group call, and my second premium broadcast called Dissident Thinker, where I conduct interviews and provide solo analysis. Dissident Thinker is also available on Rockfin and for supporters on Locals.
This reminds me, years ago, just came to mind, there was a WikiLeaks document, I think it was referring to Bulgaria, where the Bulgarian government did an investigation into corruption into the government. And there was this report that was put on the desk of some official where the report, where the government was investigating itself, they discovered that there existed a Bulgarian, I mean, it's in most countries, a Bulgarian deep state. And it was actually describing like a parallel structure where you have the government that everybody sees in Bulgaria, and then you have the real government that makes a decision. And this report was leaked on WikiLeaks. So that very much, you know, goes, I think it's related to what you experienced as well. I remember reading Croatian arms, because I'm Croatian, and you know, Croatia was involved in trafficking arms to Syria, which I was very not happy about. I think you also reported, it's on your website, Serbia was also used to traffic arms to Ukraine or Donetsk or the Donbas region, and it's amazing the kind of work that you have been doing is you shed light on these very specific details. Like, we already know a lot of the big picture. We know that the West has been funding Al-Qaeda and ISIS for a long time. You know, we have much such information. You know, you have the 2012 Defense Intelligence Agency memo, which discusses the West supporting the Salafists, and as well as your work really gets to the details. It's incredible how airlines are involved, international airports, governments, all of this framework and system. So let's then get on to the bioweapons. In 2018, you wrote an explosive article. It's on your website, Arms Watch, as well as your personal website, about Pentagon bioweapons and Pentagon laboratories, which are situated in 25 countries around the world, everywhere from my former home of Kazakhstan. I used to live in Kazakhstan, to Ukraine, to Africa, the Caucasus, Middle East, South Asia. There have been outbreaks in these regions, similar to the related to the Pentagon biowarfare projects. In 2014, you detail how the Pentagon had a project on sand flies. And what do you know? In 2015, there is an outbreak in Georgia of unusual biting flies and insects which have resistance to cold. So could you then tell us a bit about how you got into this research of the bioweapons and the biolaboratories, and you know, what is important for you there? What have you discovered?
I learned about one Pentagon-funded biolaboratory in Georgia, which is called the Luga Center, by a local journalist. And in the beginning, I didn't believe it. I thought, because it didn't sound possible. It sounded like a science fiction. And I decided to check this information. And I checked a lot of documents published on the U.S. Federal Contracts Registry. And it turned out that the Pentagon has funded biolaboratories in 25 countries across the world. The majority of these biolaboratories are located in countries bordering on the U.S. main rivals, Russia, China, and Iran. I went to Georgia and I talked to local people and what these local people living around the laboratory, because the laboratory is built inside a neighborhood. Literally, the buildings where people live, they are adjacent to this laboratory, which was very shocking to me. But obviously, the well-being of the local population is not as much important to the local authorities and the sponsoring party, the United States, as it should be. But so local people told me first that after the laboratory started working, they noticed signs of pollution in the air, in the soil, in the water. They started experiencing very inexplicable symptoms of headaches, high blood pressure, and other worrying symptoms that were not typical in the area before. Also, they told me about death cases. Neighbors to Filipino workers working in this laboratory, they even a very sad story. They even told me about death cases. And it was, I have a video and I recorded their testimony on how these scientists working at the Lucas Center from the Philippines, but American contractors, how they died, how they called ambulance, but the medics couldn't save them. And they were told that it was probably something like poison, but this happened twice, not just once. So it was probably related to some work performed by these scientists in the laboratory. And also I came into contact with insiders and they leaked documents to me proving that the United States has conducted experiments involving local soldiers, not only in Georgia, but also in Ukraine. The Defense Threat Reduction Agency, which is in charge of this whole program called Biological Engagement Program, $2.5 billion program. This agency has funded a project in Georgia on 1,000 soldiers and another project on Ukrainian soldiers, 4,400 soldiers. Under this program in both countries, blood was, or we don't know at which stage of the program or phase this project is now, but in the project description, it was written that the scientists, I'm quoting now, will take blood draws from healthy soldiers and they will be tested for different antigens against bioagents. The information about the results will not be provided to the participants in this program, which is also, which raises another question as to why these volunteers would not be able to know the results of their own blood tests. These samples will be stored in the Pentagon Biolaboratory, and part of them will be shipped to the United States for further studies. This is the only information that is provided. Interestingly, in the documents, it is written that, again, I'm quoting, all volunteer deaths will be promptly reported, which means that this program probably involves serious risk or even a lethal risk to the participants and the volunteers in this program. The same is in Ukraine and the same is in Georgia. In both countries, there are such documents which states that the volunteer deaths will be promptly reported.
This reminds me of the 1990s classic film Universal Soldier with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren, which I viewed as a kid. You write about this in your article. That was actually one of my questions. Project GG21, where the Pentagon conducted bio experiments with a potentially lethal outcome on 4,400 soldiers in Ukraine, and as you mentioned, 1,000 in Georgia. You also discuss biowarfare programs dealing with human genetic engineering, as well as ethnic bioweapons, a theoretical weapon that aims to primarily harm people of specific ethnicities or genotypes. I think Francis Boyle touched on this as well. And I think it was a video was just on the social media recently from 2018, where this question was asked to President Putin, and he acknowledged this. He was aware, the Russians are aware, that there are these Pentagon biolabs surrounding Russia in the former Soviet Union, and they're doing this kind of work regarding ethnic-specific bioweapons. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I have seen documents, again, originating from the U.S. Federal Contracts Registry, in which was written, that Pentagon scientists need samples, biological samples, but only from Russians, not from Ukrainians, only from people with Russian origin. This was written in the documents, which was very strange. Why only Russians? Not in general Caucasian people. No, only Russians. This was written. So it was an announcement for a few prospective contractors that need to supply synovial tissue to one laboratory, military laboratory in the United States. And one of the questions that these prospective contractors asked was, could we supply Ukrainian or other biological material? The answer was no, only Russian. This is what I have seen in the documents, which raises a lot of questions. Why only Russians? Ukrainians? No. Why? These are Caucasian people. They're why is that? No answer again. So I guess this could have caused awareness in Russia, because their genetic material, biological material, has been studied by the Pentagon for unknown reason.
Yeah, and also in your writing, you discuss a lot of this. We know now there are books like Robert Kennedy Jr.'s best-selling book now, and others. You talked about how the Pentagon studies has been studying bats, that they have engineered MERS-CoV, influenza, SARS, and you recently, I think a month ago, published on your website about the bird flu being modified by the NIH to be more virulent. Based on your reading of these documents, as well perhaps your discussions with some of the insiders that you've spoken to, what would be your view on your thoughts on any connections between gain of function work, this research on bioweapons and biolabs and COVID-19?
The U.S. is the biggest sponsor in the world of gain-of-function research. This gain-of-function research, it is very risky. And it is a subject to scientific dispute whether the world needs such gain-of-function research or not. I'm not a scientist, so I will not engage in this dispute. But what I can say is that my experience as a journalist trying to find answers is that what I see, huge amounts of money flooding to laboratories, no transparency, diplomatic immunity given to military scientists to research deadly viruses, bacteria, and toxins. Another topic that we can touch upon later is the reaction of mainstream media. Whenever somebody, be it a scientist or another journalist or a public figure, tries to raise this question about gain of function, about military biolaboratories, the answer is always the same: fake news, conspiracy theory. Well, 2 years into this pandemic, and now more and more pieces of evidence are coming to light that the COVID-19 could have potentially be the result of such US-funded gain-of-function research in the Wuhan laboratory. I will give an example. So now, a few days ago, when people started asking the question, could this current military operation, I'm quoting the Russian Ministry of Defense, could it be linked partially to these military biolaboratories? Because in Ukraine, the Pentagon has funded 11 biolaboratories under unknown, it is known military program, but the real objectives of this program are unknown to the general public. So people started asking this question: could there be a link between what is happening now in Ukraine And the reaction of the American media was to immediately call this information fake news, that the Pentagon has funded by laboratories in Ukraine, no matter that there are documents originating from the US government proving that the US government funded such laboratories. I don't understand this craziness. I mean, why aren't American journalists interested in what their government is doing and how their government and the Pentagon has spent $2.5 billion, US taxpayers' money, on the health of foreign citizens instead on the health of their own citizens? This is not of interest at all to the American media, and which is very inexplicable to me.
Yeah, and so speaking of that, you know, you discussed how the Defense Threat Reduction Agency had funded 11 labs in Ukraine, even as recently as 2021 or this year, 2022, that they were supposed to be further advanced or put into operation. And you also mentioned how Ukraine has repeatedly been hit in the past years by outbreaks of swine flu and highly virulent cholera and highly suspicious hepatitis A and infection. And you're right, these documents, until recently, they were available, these documents which documented the funding for these labs in Ukraine were on the U.S. State Department's website and such. And you just tweeted recently that those were taken down. So on your Twitter, people can find, I'll include the links, and on your website, you included a backup of those files. So this proves that this is factual. So if you have any comments on that, as well as, I guess we have no further information to know if what the military operation that's going on now by Russia within Ukraine. My most recent guest, Dmitry Orlov, was saying that one of the purposes of the Russian military operation was to take out many of the Ukrainian military installations. And so then the question is, are they also taking out military installations where these American-funded biolabs are contained, or are they targeting these biolabs? I haven't seen information on that, so I don't know if you have or if you have any other thoughts on this.
I can make a judgment based on one propaganda article that I read. It was published by otherwise reputable media, the Bulletin of the American Scientists. But because the journalist, the author of this article, contacted me and ask me, how will you comment the fact that you are a liar? To which I answered, and I sent my comment, providing a lot of facts linked to documents. And I asked him, could you please tell me where is the lie? More than 200 Georgians died during American experimental program on hepatitis C in Georgia, with the Lugar Center, the Pentagon-funded biolaboratory, being the leading laboratory in this biological research. Could you explain me why in the documents originating from this project, it is written that the cause of death of these people is unknown? I asked him, could you please check, could you please ask your government why 248 Georgians enrolled in this program died and the cause of death is unknown? He never got back to me, and I read his article. He didn't publish my comment. All this article was against me. The aim was obvious, to tarnish my reputation, to try to convince people that I'm conspiracy theorist or Russian propagandist. So the journalistic ethics require that he publish my comments. No, he published nothing. And this only proves that mainstream media now tries to deflect public attention to a very serious problem. These American biolaboratories or foreign biolaboratories funded by the United States. The same is the case with Wuhan. They all say this, for instance, about Ukraine, this or Georgia, these biolaboratories, they are the property of the host country. Okay, Wuhan and the institute in Wuhan is also a property of China. But in this property of the government of China, the US funded gain of function research. And coincidentally, the pandemic started exactly from Wuhan. And the pandemic was started by a virus, coronavirus, when the same American program was involved in research on coronaviruses, modified to, for unknown reasons, for gain-of-function research. The same. The only difference is that we learn about this gain-of-function research after something bad happens. We don't know in advance. There is no transparency. I have no explanation as to why this type of research is so important for the US government. What are they doing? What is the aim of this research? These are very important questions. The same is in Ukraine, the same is in Georgia. According to the documents, certain places inside these laboratories are classified information and they are accessible only to American citizens with security clearance.
Yeah, it's very bad what's going on, the media situation. And I've had Associated Press journalists contact me to interview me. And I don't speak generally, I don't talk anymore to mainstream media. And I noticed when I didn't respond to the journalist, the piece that he published was the typical ad hominem attack about conspiracy theorists. But I think they are losing. The alternative media is growing. But the danger now is they are now attacking us. They're attacking the platforms. And it's getting dangerous. It feels like the 1950s McCarthyist mm-hmm. Cold War. I just read today, the Czech Republic now. It's unbelievable. The Czech Republic is saying if a Czech now, I don't remember exactly, promotes the Russian perspective, even online. If you don't accept the official Western perspective, you could be jailed.
Up to 3 years. Yes, that's true. Also, the same. I'm sure the same will happen in Bulgaria as well. Absolutely. This is beyond imagination, really beyond imagination. And they call Europe democracy. Well, I don't want to call myself then European. If this is if meaning like being European means to be treated like this, no, thank you. I don't want this European freedom. This is unimaginable and disgusting. This. And by the way, people in my country, they took to the streets to protest against our government involving our country in this conflict. So people started realizing that a lot of the official government narrative is pure propaganda and has nothing to do with the real facts and the real dangers that we are facing now, including with these viruses and bacteria and toxins that are being studied and used for gain-of-function research. This pandemic proved a lot of lies that we've been fed over and over again. So I'm the only positive from this pandemic is that now people are more and more aware. And I hope that this will help all of us confront such programs that are very dangerous and risky. I don't want us to have a second, a third pandemic just because, actually, I don't know why. I really want to understand what are these people doing? Why did they spend $2.5 billion in so many biolaboratories overseas for military projects? Why did they collect blood samples from Georgians, from Ukrainians? Now they're starting such a project in my country, Bulgaria. I contacted our authorities, members of the Bulgarian parliament also officially required information. They didn't get any information. And these are members of the parliament. So this raises a lot of questions. Why is all this information hidden? Why? If this is for the benefit of the local population, then why are American scientists why have they been given diplomatic immunity to research dead viruses, bacteria, and toxins? Also, why, according to special provisions in agreement between Ukraine and the United States and Georgia and the United States, these military scientists are indemnified for fatalities or injuries caused to the local population? Why are these provisions if everything is for the benefit of the local population? And why are the causes of death of more than 200 people listed as unknown? And nobody even investigated this in Georgia. I was so surprised. And this answered my question, why in Georgia, why in Ukraine, because, or even in Bulgaria, because when you have and put local media under full control, suppressed freedom of expression, like in Slovakia now, up to 3 years in jail for speaking your mind, no matter what your opinion is, pro or anti, one country doesn't matter. You can go to jail up to 3 years. So in such places where there is no freedom of speech, media are under full control, you can do whatever you want, all type of programs, projects, and nobody will investigate you. Even not only the media, but the host state is not allowed to investigate you, what you are doing on their territory, because the government of this host state voluntarily provided you with such freedom to do whatever you want, diplomatic immunity, legal protection. What more to say? This gives an answer why in that these countries, Bulgaria or Georgia or Ukraine, we are slaves, literally. I'm shocked. I am beyond words seeing what's happening in my country. Yeah. They're coming to perform experiments on Bulgarian soldiers or whatever it is. We don't know. We have no information. And we just, Bulgarian media, they said, this is normal. There's no problem. It is for our good. That was the position of Bulgarian media.
I would agree with you. Europe has become totalitarian. In my perspective, the EU is a totalitarian a construct, and as you mentioned, what happened in Czech Republic, it probably maybe will happen in Bulgaria, and one of my home countries, Croatia, and I just can't stop speaking. So if they make it illegal for Croatians to question the official narrative on Russia or COVID or whatever, well, guess what? I'm Mexican, so come find me in Mexico. I'm a Mexican citizen, so I go where freedom goes. I don't know if you have one question I did have was, you said you were fired from your job. Have you suffered any other serious persecution or threats or perhaps friends of yours or others in this line of work beyond just losing your job?
I don't want to go further into detail, but it wasn't easy. I didn't give up because I devoted my life, literally, especially I was war correspondent and I saw a Bulgarian rocket. It fell next to us and beheaded a mother and her 5-year-old child before my eyes. I saw this, and later it turned out that all rockets that were used at that point were Bulgarian. So I devoted my life to do something, to stop at least what I could do to stop arming terrorists with weapons from my country, Bulgaria. It wasn't easy, but What hurts is that our colleagues, they are inexplicably silent. I recently received death threats about the investigation into these biolaboratories. So obviously there is something more that we don't know yet about these biolaboratories.
Yes, this is also what bothers me the most, is not even so much as these insults, or as you mentioned before, the mainstream media journalists attacking you, or even death threats, is the silence of so many people, professionals, white collar professionals in the academic institutions, in the government, in the journalism, even many of the people, everyday people around us, is this silence. And this is what allows this to continue, with so many people afraid to speak out, or you know, afraid to lose their nice jobs or privileges or prestige. Do you have any, is there any other issue that you wanted to mention or final thought for us?
I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak up, for taking interest in probably one of the most important topics in our times, because we have pandemic, no matter that now pandemic, obviously, it seems to have ended, because now the only news is Russia and Ukraine. So this only proves that this pandemic, I don't say that it wasn't serious. I myself had COVID, and I didn't end up in hospital, but it wasn't the best experience in my life. So I don't say it is not serious. But what I want to say is that what people need to be kept in fear by the governments, by the media. When you keep people in fear, you can so easily control them. This is an example about the pandemic, about Russia, because, for instance, in my country, people are constantly forced to think that Russia is going to invade Bulgaria any moment. And they feel fear that probably Russia will come and will occupy the whole of Europe. So this is how they work. All these propaganda tools of the governments, they use media to install fear and to keep people in fear, constant fear, be it the pandemic or the war, or that our end will end any moment, either because of the pandemic or because of nuclear war and Russia. And this is how it is so easy to manipulate and to control the masses when you install fear into them. And I want to thank you for not being afraid, for being such a brave journalist. And this makes me very optimistic, and it motivates me, because I know that there are many people out there like you, like me, who will stand up to such dangerous biolaboratories, and will all join, I don't know how to call it, probably the big problem is that we are not we are single, or we are not united. Probably we need to think in that direction, so that we are a force that cannot be dismissed so easily.
Yeah, I like to. I call myself a podcaster. Some people call me a journalist, but I do a podcast. But I'm also, again, motivated by people like yourself. It's a mutual motivation. The more people you see stepping out and being courageous, it's contagious. And so this is what we need. I think, what's the best place for people to follow your work and to support you? Is it Arms Watch?
I have been DDoSed for a year and a half. So now I'm using primarily my personal blog, Jelena.bg. So I publish my articles there. And these DDoS attacks started in 2020, in November of 2020, when I published one report on the Pentagon Biolaboratory in the Lugas Center. So I don't say that this constant DDoS attack is because of my investigation into this Pentagon Biolaboratories. What I say is just that this DDoS attack, constant DDoS attack, it hasn't ended even for a single day since 2020. It coincided with this investigation that I published back then.
It's pretty clear what's going on. I mean, if there are plenty of websites that are talking about stupid things that are not being attacked, and if you're talking about something and you're being attacked, it's pretty clear what's going on. In fact, my website yesterday was having some trouble, so I don't know what's going on. So I will include all of your links in the description, your Twitter, your personal website, Diliana, as well as Arms Watch, which is still there. And so I think people need to especially support you and even consider donating to you, because your work is great, unique, groundbreaking. And so stay safe, Diliana, and thank you for being at Geopolitics and Empire.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this Geopolitics and Empire podcast. The website is geopoliticsandempire.com, and I encourage you to sign up for the free email list that goes out with each podcast and every weekend with a collection of news headlines. The newsletter and website are our last lines of defense. We're being censored and deplatformed. It's nearly impossible to find Geopolitics and Empire on the Google search engine. We've been blacklisted. YouTube frequently takes down our videos with strikes. Facebook restricts our page. Reddit and Twitter take down posts. And after the Associated Press mentioned Geopolitics and Empire in a 2021 article co-written with NATO, our Patreon account was terminated. Vimeo also terminated our Pro account. The best free way to help Geopolitics and Empire is to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or elsewhere and subscribe to all of our media channels. You can find the video broadcast now on 5 platforms: Odyssey, Rockfin, Rumble, BitChute, and Brighteon. You can find the audio broadcast on the podcast ecosystem: SoundCloud, Apple, Spotify, and so on. My current favorite social media channels are Twitter and Telegram, but you can also find us on Gab, MeWe, Minds, Float, VK, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Finally, Geopolitics and Empire is in dire need of funding to continue. You can leave a donation, purchase a consultation with the host, or become a member to receive additional benefits. We also produce a weekly broadcast called Dissident Thinker for members and Rockfin subscribers only. We will continue to fight the good fight, come hell or high water. Thank you for listening.